I was not told that MS-328 was the hardest school to staff in the district, therefore possibly the city.
Performance artist Safia Martinez has created an entire show out of rehashing her first years as a teacher. At 23 years old, she was looking for a job teaching in public schools in New York. To get her credentials faster, she chose to teach at one of the toughest middle schools in the South Bronx in a program for challenged kids. That experience and the people she met in her 5 years there are the subject of a one-woman show called So You Can Hear Me. It's playing at the Marsh Theater in San Francisco. Martinez utilizes her performing arts training to bring to life a number of characters she met in those 5 years, mostly her students, in hopes of raising awareness about the issues that face inner city special needs programs. Safia Martinez joined me in studio, and I asked her what first struck her when she started teaching. And a warning, this interview contains strong language.
Just having the kids' worlds be proliferated with guns was really shocking and surprising. I wasn't prepared for that at all. And also, I'm, you know, Manhattan born and raised, and Manhattan has plenty of tough neighborhoods, always has. That's less so these days. But, you know, I hadn't experienced or seen any of the things since the 80s that my students were living and experiencing on the daily. So, you know, just having to, for example, if you want to take your kids out to, you know, to the park on a hot day and having there be a shootout, all of these things, you know.
What else?
Having to hit the decks. I also wasn't prepared, and I didn't know how much the gangs had have gotten to our youth. I had no clue that it, you know, I thought individuals do violence and that's how the cycle repeats. But, you know, especially where I was serving, there was a lot of gangs. For the first time, just, you know, if a kid has red in your class, he can't come in. A kid who, you know, who you love and have had successes with, you see him rolling with some people that are 21, in and out of jail, you know, all of these things.
In middle school.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And the boundary and the line between early adulthood and childhood really collapsed. A lot of my toughest kids or the kids that were most heavy in the streets, you know, they'd be a 13-year-old hanging out with 22-year-olds all the time.
Get the f*** out of my desk, yo, I'm not playing with you. Shut the f*** up, Ms. Martinez. Ain't nobody f***ing talking to you. Mother f***. I'm not. So you're not listening? Then that's all right, I'm gonna f*** air you out. You nasty ass b***. That's why you let the Molly and all them b***s ride train on you. You dirty whore, you slut. Shut the f*** up. Now I gotta go. F*** you. You know what I'm saying? You think you're fair, but you're not fair. You always f*** out with the girls, man. F*** and f*** this whole f*** class.
And what were these children classified as? Was it a special needs program? Was it, what was it called?
Well, I mean, around the time, especially as I entered the system, they have to mainstream, and they should mainstream children with special needs as well. So they don't, they couldn't at that point anymore, which historically had always been the case, segregate it and put children with individual education plans, you know, or IEPs in a different wing of the school, and they never see anybody else. That kind of thing wasn't done anymore. So I entered at a time where a lot of mainstreaming was happening. So there's many, many upsides to that, but it's also hard to implement programmatically, because then you'll have children who have autism, children that have what they call oppositional defiant disorders, but it's often just like hard living will make kids want to push back a lot more. So you'll have a whole range of disabilities and varying degrees of ability thrown into the same room, and you just have to sort it out. So it's, you know, in the textbook way, it's really great to have a mixed ability class, but when you have an inexperienced teacher with these range of issues going on in the classroom, it's really challenging. So for me, the question is, how can you integrate? How can you mainstream? How do we preserve equity and make it sustainable? Because the truth is, you're just kind of thrown into these situations where, like, very few kids are able to get their needs met based on the inexperience of teachers or infrastructure.
And I'm confronted with a scene of total chaos. I see one kid choking, one kid having an asthma attack, one kid, like, clearly keeled over. I am whacked in the face with the smell of pepper spray, and then I hear a voice that I will remember for the rest of my life. So what, yo, you know what I'm saying? I had some jokes one day, so I was like, Shaniqua, you ain't got a mom, you ain't got a perm, you forced to care, your parents don't love you. But she didn't have to pepper spray my whole face. Not even the whole floor. We up out here. Jose.
Now, in your performance,
yes, ma'am.
You bring to life many characters.
Right.
And, you know, one of them really, really drew me in, and it's Jose.
Right.
And it seems like he's this kid that's full of rage and anger, but mm-hmm. at times, you know, kind of apologetic.
He was a sweet enough kid. He was adorable, really. All 90 pounds of him came to my class late and high every day like some excuse about why he was late and high. Okay, so in the morning, I don't know what the problem is, but I'm hungry. So I have a bacon, egg, and cheese. Then I have a croissant. Then I have like a, you know what I'm saying, like some Tootsie Roll Pops. Then I might have a soft pretzel. Then I have a high C. Then I have a Yoo-Hoo. And I don't know what the problem is, but I'm starving still. And by the time I see my eyes, low. I think I need to see a thyroid doctor and an ophthalmologist. And you should feel greatly concerned about my health.
I kind of met him at a time where I still had a lot of insecurities about teaching and my ability to teach, but I knew that I was getting better. He destabilized a lot of that for me. He did something totally inappropriate in a class, and I bounced him without even thinking about it, because the truth is, he was the big tipper in my class, and I knew that if I had him, everything else, that, you know, my little kingdom was going to, like, fall apart. So I just pushed through. I expedited his transfer, and he had to go to a much tougher class where literally the second or third day he got pepper sprayed. Literally, when I was going out hitting the block to get a sandwich, I saw this poor child with his eyes all, you know, puffed out. And, you know, he wasn't crying or anything. He was actually, the thing that really caught me was he looked kind of prepared for this moment. You know, he knows where he goes to school. He knows the community he's from. But I felt so responsible, like based on my decision making, he got bounced, got pepper sprayed. And, you know, I had blamed myself in a way. And I said, if I was a more prepared teacher, I would have just been able to keep him.
Yes, sir. I meant no disrespect. I promise. Yes, sir. I'm gonna follow directions. Yes, sir. I'm taking down my hood right now.
What's the takeaway? What do you want people to take away from that intense hour?
What I want people to know is that this is just my effort to tell the truth as I experienced it. And it's in no way, shape, form, fashion to box in or re-stigmatize children that are already up against so much. I just want to be as honest as I can and show as much beauty as I can. And also, the moments where it's intense, it just, the project, it requires that. So it's in the interest of the project, and I do my best to take care of my audience as much as I can, and to also be honest and also just tell some universal things I've experienced about love.